you got to go down on your knees, cry me a river. You got to go down on your knees, cry me a river. Oh, maybe you will realize the way I've been hurting down inside. That is why.
Minutes after 6 o'clock, this is Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. It doesn't get more Bajan, more rhythmic, and indeed, in terms of presentation and style and tone and mood and phrasing and rendition and rhyme, of course, Jackie Opel, the late great Jackie Opel. Sluggy Dan is on the line. He's coming via Zoom. I'll give him the privilege of introducing our special guest this evening. Very timely indeed. Sluggy, good evening.
Good evening, my brother. Good evening, Vilby Country. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. Independence special, you know. Monday won't be here. So this is my time to share what I love most about Barbados with you all. It'll be nice to hear from you all as well. You know, it was a privilege being here all year. I look forward to going into the Christmas season. But for right now, like Ronnie said, it's quite timely to have this guest that we're going to have. And we had some conversations offline, and his vision for the community is impeccable. And I know we take a lot of people for granted, but I think what he did in entertainment in Barbados is nothing short of amazing. And I made sure if it's one thing that people will say about us, about myself, Sluggy, one thing people will say about Starcom, we made sure that we try to salute as much as our heroes and our icons as possible while they're still here, so that eventually we all go on and have no regrets. So I give the flowers. No, I want to welcome Mr. Mark Williams. Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme for the first time. It's a pleasure having you, Uncle, and I really, really appreciate you coming on the show today. Good evening, sir.
Thank you, Sluggy. How are you doing? Thank you.
I'm great, buddy. I'm great, man. How are things with you?
Pretty well. You know, you have broken the ice because I said that all my interviews were shut down. The last interview I had, Ronnie, could tell you, very good interview. Nation of Fontebelle, what's his name, Evening Man. But that was one of my best interviews. I think Ronnie knew that. But I told you,
Larry.
Larry, yeah, it was Larry Ren from Fontebelle. What is important is that. Let me first say to you that I'm very impressed with. River Road is really identify with who we are, right? I want to congratulate you. I've been listening to you all during the crop over time, and want to congratulate you now. I want to say that.
Thanks a lot, Mark, man.
Yeah, you're going back to the early days of getting involved in the entertainment industry. And sometimes I ask myself, you know, how determined can one be seeing what is in front of them? And yeah. So determined to go after it. You're doing well, Sluggy.
Thank you a lot, Mark. Yeah. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, what I like about your approach to entertainment is that no bars. You deal with it. Industry, the way it should be dealt with. Quite different through the years, but you've gone back to the early days of my being involved in the entertainment industry, and that is way back in 1952, where class, not color, did not exist. It was what you could do. And I've realized that you've picked up the same weights. You've worked. I saw you an afternoon at the 12th minute. With four or five little young girls came to the launch of Mom This One.
Yeah. Yes. Marry good, boy. Listen, boy. You marry good, boy. What are you talking about? Little boy. Mom This One for you. Think that's my brother and fault. That's oh, foul. Yeah, I think that's foul. Mom This One for you. That's maybe start having foul. Yeah.
Fold is very close. Ronnie, your interfield, I like your title as far as the industry is concerned. I like your approach.
Yeah.
You believe that the future of the industry rests within the voice of the young people. The only thing I'm concerned with is that you're in an age of a very determined set of people who you've got to fight your way through them. I did not turn back, and I can give you some ideas of how not to turn back, but you fight and stay with it. I reckon myself as one of the entertainers, one of the promoters of the Caribbean that has touched almost every aspect of promotion, from show promotion.
For sure.
Fun promotion, Coney Island, wrestling, you know, all of those things I got in touch with. When I started, I never believed that I would have been involved at the level that I ended up. I was ridiculed, young man, no money, just for the ideas and getting people.
Sorry. Listen, that sounds so familiar, boy. Yes, go ahead. Young man, no money, again, ridicule. We want to do this thing. Yes, go ahead.
Getting nicknames. I was the biggest crook that Barbados produced. But I have a portfolio that very few people in the industry, both in the region and elsewhere, could top. Because I've been able to bring to this country and export to this country some of the best in number one position in the world. The only two that I didn't get, the only two I didn't get was Teddy Pendergrass and Marley. But I can be honest with you that when you look at the stars of yesteryear who were in the number one bracket, I was able to produce them in Barbados. From Stevie Wonder all the way back. That was class. There's so many of them.
Stevie Wonder, Mark, before you go on, mm-hmm. How was that experience doing something with Stevie Wonder? Because for me now, Mark is I'm a musician, right? So yes, I'm a community activist and for the youth, and I learned a lot of that from hearing stories from you and what you did, and from hearing my mother, who's a Black Rock woman, she named Joan, so you would know Joan Watson, the mother. Yeah. My mother speak about. From hearing my mom speak about. Go ahead.
It isn't as easy as one would think, but it is a determination.
Yeah.
Let me give you the Stevie Wonder episode. Stevie was booked for Barbados.
Yes, I want to hear that.
He performed in St. Croix. I think most artists, the plane missed him. So here he is to perform in Barbados tonight. The plane missed him, and there's no plane coming out of St. Croix that coming this way. And here it is, you've had a situation where you promoted the show to the max, so you're expecting massive crowd. But when we turn up at the airport, the flight touched down, and there was no Stevie Wonder. So you'd understand now that you're in Maxwell Pond, and then you found out that there's no plane leaving. So what are you going to do? Now, this is where head, brain, mind, and everything comes into place. Fortunately, there was a guy at the airport who I was familiar with, and I asked him the question. And he said, well, there's no more flights coming in from St. Croix tonight. Then they went ahead and asked them, are their flights coming to Barbados from? So the only thing I could tell you, that would be too late. Just that there's a flight coming in from Antigua, and he's not going to be able to get that because in St. Croix, you would have to lift him from St. Croix to Antigua to catch that late flight. And then when you get here, it would be long after a short time. So I am now out of situation as well. Can't get here for tomorrow night because there's no show tomorrow night. So the positioner said that I told Pilgrim, well, let's see if we can get him into Antigua. And when he gets into Antigua, then you can probably find out exactly what flight is coming into Barbados and we could bring him on. Fortunately for us, we found out and he got a flight coming out of Antigua, a Liat coming out of Antigua, which would have landed here at 9:40 the night. Now, 9:40 for sure, that's starting at 8 o'clock, you'd understand what's happening. So said, so done, and all the equipment and everything came in. We packed the equipment, and we took it down to the Kensington Oval. This time, Kensington Oval is packed to capacity. On the show was the Opals. Lord, let me say thanks to the Opals. The Opals opened the show and sang non-stop from 8 o'clock till after 9. All the people were asking for, word got out that Stevie was not in Barbados. So you don't know what you're faced with. You're faced with a situation of what's going to happen here. Fortunate. Stevie landed in Barbados a little after something to 10. And a mother-to-be, and who has always been, because I could tell you the story about her, Norma Jackman, who was at the airport at the time, took Stevie on arms for me and made sure that he was available to come off to Kensington, leaving the equipment and everything. Norma took charge of him. Fortunate, Norma took him to the Holiday Inn where he was staying. And he went to the Holiday Inn, fresh up, and came down. What people don't seem to understand, these are things that the promoter, who has no money, sometimes have to go through. But God is a loving God, and God understands your plight. So Stevie Wonder came to the Holiday Inn, and Norma Jackman brought him to Kensington Oval for me. The position between himself and him was like if I knew him for 15 years and he knew me for 20 because the acquaintance was right there. Cutting the story short, he went on a little after 11 o'clock. Are you there with me? Hello?
Mm-hmm.
You went on a little
after... We are here, buddy. We are here.
Yeah, you went on a little after 11 o'clock and went 2 o'clock when they were still performing at Kensington Oval.
What?
He went on after...
What?
I tell you, after 10 o'clock, he played drums, played keyboard, he sang, he do everything. And he made the show nobody would have...
This is a Barbados, Ronnie.
Yeah. Nobody would have believed that he was the man who was supposed to be in Barbados, doing Barbados for a show starting at 8 o'clock. Missed his flight. I was able, from a Barbados connection, have him connected out of Antigua to get here after.
Yeah.
And then to go on after. When he finished, and he had to be stopped, because it didn't seem as if he wanted to stop. All after 2 o'clock, he was still performing. And people said it was the best show that I've ever seen in Barbados. Now, I say that to say this, right? I would have to be smart, but not dishonest. Because there's no way Stevie Wonder would have left New York booked and been a subject of William Morris Agency. Now, if you're familiar, the top-of-the-line agencies, booking agencies in the States, Queens, William Morris, if you're looking for the cream of entertainment, then you're talking with William Morris. You're talking about Queens, right?
Mark, question for you. When you made a contact with William Morris Agency coming out of Barbados. And Stevie Wonder, of course, is the eighth wonder of the world. What promoters, what reps tell me is, well, our artist can be anywhere in the world at the same time that you are requesting. Why should we come to you as opposed to, let's say, go to Vegas where we can make 300,000 on that same night? Why should we come to you? Did you get that kind of questioning from William Morris because you were calling from Barbados at that time?
No, William Morris is one of those companies that you start off by requesting the artist. If the artist is available for the date you request, the next movement is to pay, if you can meet the contract. The next movement is the conditions of travel and the conditions of accommodation. And as long as you could meet, as long as you cannot advertise the artist unless the deposit is there. Mm-hmm. Some of the agencies take a deposit at the airline. Some of the agencies take an upfront deposit. But the fact you cannot advertise the artist unless those things are fulfilled.
Okay.
So I made a commitment to William Morris by way of the advance and also the ticket. So I had accomplished half of my arrangements, that is providing the airline tickets and providing what is known as the down payment. Inside of that, there is always someone who travels with the group, who is known as the road manager. And that road manager looks after the group, but he has one major responsibility to the agency. That is to collect the other half of the deposit before the artist goes on stage.
Okay.
Now, you must have some sort of credibility. Now, I also did work with Queen's Booking Agency. I can go on and tell you all of that, but what I'm trying to establish is that people don't know what is involved. And I've had several close calls that I know that several promoters would run a deck. I had a similar call with Harold and the Blue Notes, which you probably would have known. That Harold was booked to perform in Barbados. Everything was clear-cut. He was supposed to perform in Trinidad the night before. Unfortunately, an incident happened in Trinidad, and he was held for drugs. So Barbados' show was completely taken out.
And for those who don't know, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, they had Teddy Pendergrass on lead at that time.
No, Teddy was not on lead. The guy was a real imitation to Teddy Pendergrass.
Oh, so Teddy Pendergrass had moved on by that point then?
He'd moved on, but this guy, what's his name? Melville. Melville. He had a name like Harold. But he lead sing the group. And those people who saw, listen to this. The beautiful thing about this is that he could not appear in Barbados the night he was booked for because he was held in custody in Trinidad.
Mm-hmm.
The daytime, he went before the magistrate and it was settled and he insisted he was coming through to Barbados. They stood at the Regency. Well, Teddy came in and we told Teddy what was happening. Teddy, Pendergrass, what was happening. Harold Melville, what happened. He said, that's no problem. He has 2 days on his itinerary, and he will give Barbados one of those days. So it was like, how he will give Barbados one of those days? He says he must perform for Barbados. So we put back on the show the Monday night now. Fortunately, we had a beautiful crowd, and this time we had Harold Melville, and very few people realized that Harold Melville was missing for the first night. You know what I mean? Very few people, Harold Melville sang and performed with the group, but it's only coming on to the end of the show when the group was introduced. People realized, those who went to the first time show, realized that there was Harold and the girl. But unfortunately, at that particular point, Harold performed as if though nothing had happened. Again, that was another successful show.
Mm-hmm.
That was not all to it. You must be determined. This is the intricate things of being a show promoter. So I give you Stevie Wonder. I give you Harry Melville. I must also tell you that it was also an awkward position with the blind guy from Puerto Rico. What's his name?
Jose Feliciano.
Jose Feliciano. I've had the privilege of a world manager telling me, well, don't worry with the wounds. We are going back to the airport. You can imagine that. Promoter, right. Don't worry with the rooms. Taxi, we're going back to the airport. Let me tell you what had happened. They had made certain demands on me, which I met. And eventually, in order, because the contract looked like it was crumbling. So I caught the afternoon flight for me. I went on to Trinidad to make sure that the act was on its way here. Because the promoter ahead of me, who had him for Trinidad and one or two other places, was not meeting the commitment in terms of the sound system and everything. So when I got to Trinidad, he was at Queen's Hall, and I had a meeting with the road manager and the manager, and they said to me, well, Barbados is out. Barbados is out. I said, oh, I mean, it's out. He said, well, we haven't had our final pair, and we haven't had our commitment to the hotels, and we haven't had our commitment to road and sound equipment. So I said, well, that can't be that. So I explained fully that I done all that. Watch the art of being a promoter. I said, well, what you can do if you're not keen on what I've done in Barbados, don't come up on this morning flight, send someone with me to be sure that the venue is adequate. Send someone with me to prove that the hotel has been booked and that the sound equipment is in place. So the road manager told me, well, if those things are not in place, we'll be heading back to the airport to leave. So I came up on the very first flight out of Trinidad, myself and the road manager. And the first thing he wanted to see was the Caribbean Pepper Pot. And my friend, he's died now. He used to manage the Dynamics. So it was there. He used to manage that, but he was responsible for the sound. Hello?
Continue, Mark.
Yeah, and he had the sound in place. That by the time when we got there by 10 o'clock, the sound was in place, and everything was being approved by the road manager. When we get down to the hotel was approved. So it is now him calling back to the hotel Holiday Inn in Trinidad to tell the management there that Barbados is ready. So they caught the flight coming out of Trinidad. Which was a little after 10. Arrive, check out the sound equipment at the Caribbean Pepper Pot. Identical, can work. Come down to the Holiday now. Unfortunate, the rooms were not ready. So they had to stay in the lobby. And I see the manager, this little snuffy looking red fella coming up to me. And he says, promoter, get some taxis for us. I said, why? He said, we're going back. We're going straight up to Puerto Rico because the contract has not been what it should be. And unfortunate, I have to take the team back to Puerto Rico. Trinidad is out of it. So here I am again, having a show promoted. Everything is happening. And then little technical things that should have been in place that wasn't in place was causing the show to fall in shambles. Fortunate, I was able to pull him on side and let him realize that the sound equipment is in place. The manager of Holiday Inn called me on side and told me, take the fellas up to the honeymoon suite. That was ready. So here it is now. I got the guy and I got some other people going up to the honeymoon suite, which was booked. So that was settled. In terms of booking the hotel book, venue ready, beautiful show. I think that night all the staff of the American Embassy in Barbados had booked tickets for that show. That was a beautiful show. Gabby will tell you about that, because Gabby performed on that Jose Feliciano in concert. There were two shows, a 6 o'clock show and a 9 o'clock show, and they went well. Now, you would ask yourself, having gone through these things, where you kept pursuing, and sure, the difference now of local. I don't know if you remember, in 1993, NCF had given up the contract for Cobbler Pot, which was the local, any local promoter would be able to buy it. So where it is, they're going forward, and they bought contract and everything signed. The contract said that they would be responsible for the physical setup of the stairs. They would be responsible for lighting and security. So I would just have to pay for the artists and my security that they brought on. So the afternoon time, I'm at the stadium watching the setup, just put in place, chairs get put on everything. The band on stage, troubadours and everybody doing the sound check. And I got a call that somebody up in the stand wanted me. When I look up in the stand, I saw Mr. Forbes, Basil Forbes. He was the deputy chairman at the time. He said to me, Williams, everything is going so far, but we got a little problem. I just came out of a meeting, and they've got to pass back the police security to you with no changes to it. And I said, but this was not agreed. Now here at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, within another couple of hours, we will be coming into the stadium. So you're going to take the chance. So the same amount of police that they book, I had to take. So the night at the stadium, the show was a beautiful show. Almost every act in Barbados performed. Troubadours, back, every act performed. And that was beautiful. But coming on to the gate receipts, if they did not pass back the police to me, I would not have had that problem. So I'm going to make this statement openly now. Anybody in Barbados who say they work on a show for me and I did not pay, bring it out. Let's face it. Because the only time that I've had a situation so determined was with NCF and the police, which they had to pay to the court. So I'm saying these things that promoters really and truly are determined people. For example, I was determined, I did almost everything. I had a circus already in Barbados and no lying. The land, all the other artists came. And some of the animals were quarantined, and unfortunately the lions could not come. So we had to have the circus without the lions, but it went well. So it's obvious people would call me names because I never backed down from the challenge. I never ran from the challenge. Now, in the early days of entertainment in Barbados, I think you would want to hear this from as far back as 1952. There isn't a single act from as far back as 1952 that I did not have association with. Whether it was Norma Stout, whether it was Michael Wilkinson, whether it was Vern Bess, Ver Miller. All those acts, Cleve Gittens Band, Percy Gittens Band, BRC, all them, Mark Williams Promotions. What was beautiful in those days, that the artists, they give you a price. You know that you could work with that price, and you went through. There were situations where some of the better shows in Barbados were done back then.